Good morning, everyone. My name is Anand Dapre. I'm actually the co-chair of this session, but I'll be chairing now because our session chair didn't show up. And he was supposed to talk first. So we'll move on now to talk number two by Professor Thomas Prevensley.
Right.
And title of his talk is Disinfection of Ebola in the Developing World. You can start now.
Okay, thank you. Yes, my name is Thomas Prevensley. I'm an American living in Hong Kong. And the title of this talk, as you can see, is The Disinfection of Ebola in the Developing World. And I'm in Hong Kong as well as in Germany, so I move around. Now, the introduction. The Ebola virus is a worldwide concern, as you all know. In the United States, Ebola disinfection includes electric-powered handheld systems that produce UVC radiation. And UVC I'll be talking about is 254 nanometers. And here you can see a picture of a person with a mask, suit, the whole thing, using a electrical-powered UVC lamp. But you see, this protocol for Ebola disinfection in the U.S. is just too complex and costly in the developing world. They don't even have sources of electricity. So there's no way you can use this in West Africa. Proposal. I want to propose that QED-induced EM radiation from body heat in a handheld nano-coated ball called an Ebola is proposed to provide the UVC to inexpensively disinfect Ebola without electricity. QED here will be quantum electrodynamics and EM electromagnetic. And here you see a cartoon of that, a man holding a light, the UV light supposedly emitting into the surroundings. Now the operating principle is the Ebola converts body heat from the hand holding the ball to UVC radiation because the temperature of the nanocoating cannot increase by QM. The QM here will be quantum mechanics. You haven't heard much of quantum mechanics at this conference. You will after this. Nanocoating. Now what the idea is to apply a nanocoating to a surface. When you do this, you're going to avoid convection, natural convection, and conserve the heat by the emission of QED radiation instead of the usual temperature increase. I'll show you that. And this suggests that QED is the fourth mode of heat transfer. You all know that you have conduction, radiation, and convection, right? But what I'm going to propose is really there's a fourth mode. And this fourth mode of heat transfer I'm going to describe. Here you have a substrate. Body heat. Could be heat of any form, but I'm going to specifically pick body heat. You put a macro coating on here, greater than 1 microns, you get natural convection. You all know this. Now, I'm talking here 1 micron. I'll defend that later. However, if you put a nano coating, less than 100 nanometers, it's a brand new ball game. And what you're going to produce here is what I call QED radiation. So the nano coating avoids natural convection and conserves body heat by QED radiation instead of a temperature increase. Basic idea. Theory. I'm going to talk briefly about the heat capacity of the atom, conservation of energy, TIR confinement. Now the heat capacity of the atom. Here you see a plot of Planck energy here on the ordinate in electron volts. On the abscissa, thermal wavelength in microns. And classical physics is given by this white line. It goes all the way across from the out here at the macro scale, beyond 1,000 micron, to the nanoscale, less than 1 micron. So when you do classical physics, this is the assumption you make. When you do molecular dynamics, you assume classical physics. And even though the structures are submicron, this is what is assumed, and I think you can see that's not correct. Now, quantum mechanics is different. This is Einstein-Hopf relationship. This is 100 years old. There's nothing new here. And if you plot this out at 300 degrees Kelvin, you get this yellow curve. And you can see down to about maybe 30, 40 microns, classical physics and quantum mechanics give about the same heat capacity. Okay. But below that, it drops off very rapidly, and nanocoatings are way over here. So, for all intents and purposes, nanocoatings have no heat capacity whatsoever. And what I'd like you to walk away from this talk is in nanocoatings, the atom has no heat capacity by quantum mechanics. Very important point. Conservation of energy. Okay, if there's no heat capacity by quantum mechanics, this precludes electromagnetic energy conservation in nanocoatings by an increase in temperature. You still have to conserve energy that is absorbed. So how do you do this? The proposal I'm making is the absorbed electromagnetic energy is conserved by creating QED radiation in the nanocoating by frequency up conversion to the TIR resonance of the nanocoating. And TIR here is total internal reflection. Now, TIR confinement, the RI of nanocoating is greater than that of the surroundings. The QED radiation is confined by TIR. This goes back to Tilton in the 1800s. Now, RI here is refractive index. Now, nanocoatings have a high surface-to-volume ratio. You know this, right? Nanoparticles, nanosurfaces, they have high surface-to-volume ratio. The energy that's absorbed then is almost totally in the coating surface. It's very important. So what you have is the top... there's no room here to move this around. Thank you. So basically what you have is the so the radiation is created between two surfaces. Each surface has a high concentration of energy, so in between those two surfaces you have radiation or photon. The equations are simple. F is the frequency of the radiation, C the velocity of light, lambda the wavelength, lambda is 2nd, E here is the Planck energy of that radiation, and D is the coating thickness, and N is the refractive index of the coating. Application. Briefly, analysis, coating selection, body heat, and a disinfection dosage. Now here, what is shown is QED radiation, the wavelength here on the ordinate, you can see here's EUV, UV, VIS, and IR. And this is coating thickness in nanometers. And I show this for N equal 2, refractive index to 4, but most materials are slightly greater than 2 or near 2. But for, you can see that around a little more than 254 nanometers over here. And that, what that says, you need about 50 nanometers of some material that has a refractive index of around 2.5. And what I've chosen here is UVC, zinc oxide, 50 nanometers. Okay. Use titanium dioxide as well, but there's a reason for zinc oxide. The coating selection, to ensure this TIR confinement, you require the RI of the coating to be greater than that of the substrate. And for zinc oxide coating, having N equal around 2.5, the QED emission from the 50 nanometer thickness produces radiation at 254 nanometers, and this may be transmitted in the air to kill the Ebola virus. Now, zinc oxide was picked at because about 5 years ago there was work done at Oregon State University where they coated aluminum and copper with zinc oxide nanoscale, and they showed improvements of 4 to 10 times the heat transfer. I've kind of stayed with zinc oxide. Again, titanium dioxide is just as good. Body heat. All of us are going to emit about 100 watts of energy. And since the average surface area for adult men and women is about 1.75 meters squared, the body heat turns out to be 5.71 milliwatts per centimeter squared. Around 6. And the disinfection dosage, UV light, works by, it penetrates the organism's cell walls, scrambles the genes, and they cannot reproduce. It's that simple. The optimal UV wavelength is between 250 and 270 nanometers, and UVC is 254. Now, the minimum dose of UVC to destroy the Ebola virus is 0.4 millijoules per centimeter squared. So you can see around 6 milliwatts times time, 1 second, that would be on the order of 6 millijoules per centimeter squared, and that's more than enough to kill the Ebola virus. Now, it won't kill the Ebola virus from here to there, but if a person goes over the surface, he can do that. Status, what I'm presenting here is developmental status. There's much more work, and I think I will show you it's even much bigger than what I'm just presenting. The QED-induced disinfection of drinking water is under development and testing. Prototypes comprised that I have here are 1 millimeter thick half-sphere aluminum bowls, and if I can carefully put this down. This is the aluminum bowl I'll be working with. See, it fits into the palm of the hand. If you want to, once it's coated, the heat energy from my hand tries to go through the coating, creates UVC, and it will act as I just pointed out. This is for smaller children. These prototypes are 1 millimeter thick. You can see 100 millimeter diameter, 50 millimeters high. They fit into the palm of the hand. And the intent here is to pick up the 12 degrees C differential between body temperature and ambient. So you can see there's about 12 degrees C here. And here I show a picture of that. Also, there's some proof of principle tests going on. It's not with UVA instead of UVC, it's easier to work with. But here with titanium dioxide, you need this type of thickness. And for the titanium dioxide coatings applied to is a 20 millimeter by 20 millimeter square aluminum sample heated on the backside by an insulated electric. So there's some tests you can do without going to the level of the bowl itself. And these are ongoing now. And the conclusions: Ebola is suited for disinfecting Ebola in the developing world that lacks sources of electricity. Again, as much more work needs to be done to prove this. The costs are minimal. They're almost negligible, and the West African governments can simply give them to the people. The people themselves do the disinfection. They don't rely on, let's say, the U.S. government doing it. And once exposed to the virus, the workers discard protective suits. You've probably seen this on the... But this is an expensive procedure in West Africa, and all that is being proposed here uses zinc oxide coating on the suits. So continually emit UVC from body heat, to remove the Ebola virus and allow reuse. Extension. This is not a simple Ebola problem. The apps are not limited to Ebola in West Africa. Drinking water in China is a major problem. Smartphones are everywhere. Handrails and poles on transits on the metro in Dubai. Flashlights in Canada. Now I'm going to talk just briefly. I think I have enough time to do this. And here I say drinking water in China. I'm presenting this at a conference in China. But here you see the water. If you turn the Ebola over, you can fill it with water, right? And the body heat should produce the UV to kill the pathogen in the water. You can use the Ebola in West Africa, so the West Africans get a dual punch here. They can do Ebola if they wish, or they can just disinfect water. And China is not an undeveloped country, but it's developing. It's like the United States was 100 years ago. And there's a lot of pollution in China. So it's a possibility to use that. Smartphones. These are everywhere. But here I show a smartphone. The hands put heat into the cell. The finger here touching the touch screen also puts heat in. And the UVC now comes from the inside through the nano coating. You coat the touch screen with 50 nanometers of zinc oxide. You're going to produce UVC. So you can get the hand and electronics heat. And then with public transportation, now in Dubai, you get on the metros here, and you probably already know this, but they have this type of what we call in Hong Kong a hand pole. And here I've doctored this up. I've added UVC coming from the surface of the hand pole. Now they would have to modify these hand poles to put an electrical heater down through it to produce heat. But when it comes to the nano coating again, okay, I don't know what I have here.
You may have to just...
I don't know what to say. Again, these are handfuls you see on the metro here in Dubai. We don't have this form in Hong Kong, but I've seen them in Buenos Aires. But the Dubai metro, modify the handfuls. You have to put a heat source. And that heat comes through the coating. The temperature cannot change again. You're going to produce UVC if you're around 59 degrees. Now here I show LED flashlight. This is in Canada. really not disinfection, but the idea, this girl, she's 16 years old now, from British Columbia, and she developed a flashlight that from the heat of the hand produces light. Okay? Now I'm not doing, I was told this after I did this, that I should check with, and here I, this is what she did, and she used the Peltier effect to take the temperature difference from her hand to the ambient, and used a visible LED. Okay? And by visible LEDs, she used the Peltier effect to convert body heat, her own hand, to produce light. And again, for a 16-year-old, this, Google gave her $25,000 for this in a contest. So now, what this leads to is QED that I've just proposed, I think, may supersede LED. It's much more efficient. And in the UVC today, LEDs are very, very inefficient. They only have a quantum efficiency of about 1%. And but in contrast, the QED I've been talking about, all the heat is converted to radiation. So it's 100%. Again, these are areas of development. So again, I get to the point here, collaboration. The applications of QED UVC to the disinfection of infectious diseases are numerous and diverse, and development is far beyond what I can do. So collaboration with interested parties is solicited, or just do it yourself and send me some results. Which is the better way of doing it, because you yourself can make money. If you can show it, you have to prove it works now, right? So do I, but that's up to you. That's all I really have. This is my email, and this is my home page. You'll find this presentation on my home page, plus many of the other points that I've mentioned here. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr.
Any questions? You have to keep in mind here, there's no, unlike semiconductor LEDs, this is conservation of energy. You put energy in, I don't care what it is, it tries to go through the coating, the temperature cannot increase because of quantum mechanics, some of you came in a little later. And because of that, you still have to conserve that energy. So what I'm proposing is that radiation is produced inside the coating, and by selecting the material of the coating and the thickness, you can produce whatever radiation you want. And for UVC, it's around 50 nanometers of zinc oxide. Yeah, Phil?
Maybe a more practical question. So how long do you have to expose an infected patient to this kind of technology?
How long do you?
You have to use it to cure infections from a patient. So.
Well, I mentioned if you take.
Is it still practical? Is it high enough?
If it's Ebola, and if there's Ebola on my bag, I can just, again, the body heat. Okay? In the air, you turn the bowl over, and if you have, if the body is producing around 6 milliwatts per centimeter squared, that times the time, if 1 second, let's say, will produce 6 millijoules per centimeter squared, and for Ebola, which turns out to be not so difficult to kill, it's only 0.4 millijoules per centimeter squared. So in less than a second, you've taken care of Ebola. Now water is more difficult. E. coli, you have to, when you have the bowl filled with water, I'm past that now, but you would have, you would have to hold the water in the bowl for less than about 10, no more. You'd have to hold it in the bowl for at least 10 seconds, 6 to 10 seconds. Once you put the water in, you wait 6 to 10 seconds. The pathogens of water will be taken care of. Again, this requires a lot more work, and that's not the intent here. What was your question?
First, I'd like to thank you for doing this cool talk. And secondly, I'd like to ask you, did you make any toxicity testing of the zinc oxide nanocoating? Toxicity testing?
Did I make what?
Toxicity testing. Toxicity.
Well, okay, toxicity is an important issue, and I mentioned this morning, as you all know, in the talk on photodynamic therapy, right? But see, with photodynamic therapy, you're putting the energy into the body. Here I have the water inside, if it's drinking water, I have it inside the bowl. So I kill the bacteria, E. coli, inside the bowl. Okay? I don't...
Yes, I mean that when the person drinks the water, are there any ions from the nanocoating that is released in the water, for example?
Well, they're probably
or
very...
Or if you come in contact with the person, comes in contact with their suit.
What you run into trouble with is, if I were proposing, and they are doing this, and actually in West Africa, they're using filters that they drive, if they walk by the fact they don't have electricity, they drive the water through the filter. The filter has silver nanoparticles. And they find that's very good. But the problem is, there are the silver nanoparticles, if they come off, they're in your body. They're not out here in the cup. Right, and from what I've heard, zinc oxide nano films are somewhat resilient to that. They're not going to come on. Oh, and I didn't mention, but when you're in, well, here even in Dubai, when you go up an escalator, you hold the handrail. So someone else had had it before you. You picked up his bacteria, and in Hong Kong, they keep telling you, put your hands on the handrail, but that's exactly what you don't want to do. But on the other hand, if you know, sometimes the steps stop and people fall down. I've seen it happen. So you naturally will grab the handrail. Some people do not, they avoid it.
All right. Join me in thanking Dr. Sulinski one more time. This is a certificate given to you.
Thank you.
Okay, our next speaker is Anand Gatre. This is me. I'm going to talk about biomodification of functionalized. Thank you again for...